Sherlock Holmes is the most popular detective in fiction. From Arthur Conan Doyle's stories came movies and television programs, and surely the brilliant detective with his encyclopedic grasp of dust and fiber is the forerunner of today's CSIs. Now, brace yourself for a way-updated Sherlock.
Possible suicides, four of them.
There's no point sitting at home when there's finally something fun going on.
Look at you all happy. It's not decent.
Who cares about decent? The game, Mrs. Hudson, is on.
The new series is called simply Sherlock. It was created by Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss. It stars actor Benedict Cumberbatch. Mr. Cumberbatch and Mr. Moffat join us from London. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello. Hello.
Now, Mr. Moffat, I understand you were a childhood fan of Sherlock Holmes. But in your version, the character is firmly planted in the 21st century.
Yes, I was a childhood and adulthood fan of Sherlock Holmes, and this was a notion that Mark Gatiss and I had together, because much as we love Sherlock Holmes, we love Victoriana, that many of the adaptations had become about the period as opposed to be about the story, and we sort of hesitantly admitted to each other once that we rather enjoy the old Basil Rathbone movies where the stories are updated to the 1940s. It seemed to somehow make it a bit less reverent and a bit more fun.
So, what things in modern life did you think would have to be included that would be something Sherlock Holmes would use?
Well, to be honest, if you map the original stories onto the modern world, the parallels are so exact and so simple that it tells its own story. It's very unusual for anyone to keep a journal now. No one would keep a diary the way Dr. Watson used to in the old stories. And you thought, but of course, you'd do a blog. In the original stories, one of the features of Sherlock Holmes was that he would read everything. That he was born for the internet and for the chat room and for forums and all that. I think he'd love it. It would finally be the speed and the intensity of information that that demented man craves.
Now, Benedict Cumberbatch, you're absolutely running up against a huge fan base over here. For the Sherlocks of the past, we ask NPR listeners, what do you think? And we got this on our Facebook page from Monica Jenkins, who said, woe to the actor trying to overcome or outdo Jeremy Brett's interpretation.
He's a very different actor to me and a very different Sherlock Holmes. And while him and Basil Rathbone have my vote as the all-time greatest late Victorian Holmes, there is less woe to fear than the lady writes of in her warning, her oracle-like warning.
When this show was about to air in Britain, a lot of people were saying those things. It shouldn't be updated, and no one can beat Jeremy Brett, no one can beat Basil Rathbone. The truth is, it's not like our Sherlock Holmes replaces the existing Sherlock Holmes, it's another one.
And while I do agree with the lady, there's enough originality in what I give and what Stephen and Mark have written for it not to tread on the hallowed turf that is Jeremy Brett's.
How did you think your way into the physical character of Sherlock Holmes?
Well, the book, as Jeremy, I'm sure if he was alive, would also say, is the template for any actor playing Holmes. And whether it's a raised eyebrow, whether it's the clasped hands under the chin in the prayer position, whether it's him sitting on his haunches, all of that is documented in the books. The books are the guideline for that. You'll have to watch, really, to do a blow-by-blow comparison. I'm not here to do that, but I would urge people, if they're interested in watching it, to watch it for all sorts of reasons, including that one.
Now, we don't have Martin Freeman here. He's the actor who plays Dr. John Watson. But the Watson-Sherlock relationship is clearly going to be an interesting one. This is a moment when Watson, he's a military doctor, invalided out of Afghanistan. He comes into Sherlock Holmes' world basically looking for a bed, a room.
Seen a lot of injuries then. Violent deaths.
Yes.
Bit of trouble too, I bet.
Of course, yes. Enough for a lifetime, far too much.
Want to see some more?
Oh, God, yes.
So how do you see that relationship developing? Dr. Watson in this series is not an idiot, as he is in the Basil Rathbone series.
No, he's not. In the original stories, he's a reasonably intelligent man. But I think the defining thing about Dr. Watson in all his incarnations is he's the first man a genius would trust. Sherlock Holmes sees to the heart of everything and everyone. So if he trusts you, you must be something special.
The glue between them is sort of illustrated there in that clip. They become very trusting partners. I think Sherlock sees a reliability and a complete trustworthiness in this honest, good man. It's a man who misses the theatre of war, the excitement, the adrenaline and the danger, and sees through Holmes's eyes and Holmes's London a new theatre of war and a new battle to take part in.
It's also true that the thing that people really love are the deductive connections that Holmes makes. Now, here's Benedict Cumberbatch doing that.
Vancombe was left-handed.
Left-handed?
I'm amazed you didn't notice. All you have to do is look around this flat. Coffee table on the left-hand side, coffee mug handle pointing to the left. Power sockets habitually use the ones on the left. Pen and paper on the left-hand side of the phone.
Yeah, it did require quite a lot of dexterity and hard work, but it's relishable stuff to do. And
it's one of the defining things about a good Sherlock Holmes versus a bad Sherlock Holmes is, can you do all that stuff without just sounding like the smuggest git in the world, quite honestly, and which you do very brilliantly. But, the good Sherlock Holmes is, he's got to sound like someone who's just high on the fact that he's clever,
yeah,
as opposed to just thinking, ooh, I'm going to show off to everybody in this room, which is annoying.
No, it's somebody who can't help. He has ownership of the material in the sense that there's no thinking time at all. So as an actor, it's quite tricky because obviously you have so many details and you have no time to think what the next link is. It has to come out at a machine gun speed. Most of the deductions were very well plotted, but in this instance, we had to actually, on the day, think up of quite a few. So I came up with the idea of the mug handle being turned to the right for the left-handed person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am not saying I am Sherlock Holmes, but I'm quite proud, quite proud to have had a hand in at least some of the logic of his deduction.
Stephen Moffat, are you thinking your way into the future with Sherlock Holmes? Are you planning more of them? And
oh, yes, we are. Yes, absolutely. We're absolutely. Well, it's been such a storm over here that, yeah, we're Mark and I are already thinking what we're doing next year.
Hints?
The critical words, I'd say, would be Adler, Hound, Reichenbach.
Okay, I've got that.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, it's been wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Stephen Moffat, he's the co-creator of the new series, co-produced by Hartswood Films for BBC Wales and Masterpiece, and Benedict Cumberbatch, the new Sherlock. The first episode airs in this country on Sunday, October 24th. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Monte.